to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday about 12:05 p.m. till 1:30 p.m. And it's your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, talk, and more. And what happened this week? Well, it's another fudded-up week in crypto. More fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And you got to wonder, what crypto holders are there left to panic and start selling, but there seems to be no shortage of them. Google follows Facebook to ban crypto ads. And a House Financial Services Subcommittee holds a hearing, and we have two new baby faces in heels to cheer and boo, Representative Tom Emmer and Representative Brad Sherman, respectively. We'll hear from them later in the show. The SEC and the CFTC, the Commodities and Futures Trading Commission, widened their investigations into ICO cryptocurrencies with more subpoenas and targets. And could Puerto Rico become the blockchain capital of the Western Hemisphere? Well, we'll find out in the hour and a half to come, and I have to give you a little bit of a warning. We have an email from a listener that I take very seriously, and we're going to get the whole panel involved in that right after we introduce them. And it's not quite as full as last week, but still pretty full this week. Well, of course, the perennial Alex Solis here, as he is virtually every week since we've started the show. Alex, good to have you here today.
Good to see everybody.
Yeah, and we'll work our way around the panel here.
And that only proves that I'm insane. You may be right. I may be crazy.
All right, well, I won't try and give him an adjective or a noun in front of his name. I'll just say, hi, Augie, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, the contrarian says hi back.
Oh, sure. After I play the lunatic thing, you want the contrarian
stuff.
Well,
just be the lunatic any day you like, but it may be crazy, but blockchain makes more sense than currency.
All right, one more to go.
Open.
The co-founder of SeekingCryptos.com and the fellow co-founder will be coming up in just a few more days from now, and we'll find out about that and more after we say hi, Andy.
Hey, good afternoon, Henry. It's good to be here again.
Well, it's good to have everybody here. We have to quickly do business and housekeeping. Let's remind everybody that coming up next weekend, two important events. Friday, 3 o'clock, Duff's Buffet on US 41 in Bradenton in the Bayshore Gardens Shopping Center. It is a special Seeking Cryptos investing seminar. The other co-founder of Seeking Cryptos, besides Goldbug One, a.k.a. Andy, Mark Principato, Mark P. Markets on TradingView.com, is going to be there, as well as you just add family members like you're adopting foster kids. And no, not to call Joseph Gehrman young enough to be your child. He's a young man. But J Squared Investing is now part of the seminar, too. And so what do people have to expect this Friday at 3 o'clock at Duff's?
Well, Mark's coming in, and he's going to go over some trading stuff. And what we're actually doing is we're doing a prelude to our seminar material, and we're going to be recording it for the website as an educational product. And so it's a good opportunity to come out and get free education. I mean, he was 10 years ago, I mean, it was $500 for a three-hour class with Mark. And here you get the opportunity to get it for free, because all you have to do is pay for the lunch price at Duff's. And, I mean, what a great opportunity.
Well, you'll be able to get some one-on-one with you and Joseph also.
Absolutely. Joseph's coming down from St. Pete, and he will give some information on doing the masternodes and getting some passive income through masternode mining in that. And I will be there, my good looks and everything, and great voice. And also, I expect you're
you
going to be there.
You can put a face to the voice,
that's
everybody.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
I think people will be shocked, but, you know, hey, we're going shock radio.
Well, if you miss Friday, then you have the monthly Bradenton Bitcoin and Cryptocurrency Meetup, and that's special, too, because we're going to our new home for the meetup. That's Connect Bradenton in downtown Bradenton, aptly named Connect Bradenton, and that's at 600 Old Main Street. It's at the corner of State Road 64 East and Old Main Street, catty corner to the courthouse, and we'll be there at 3 o'clock also to about 4:30. Mark Principato will be there, too. We're going to try out all the new audio-visual stuff that's available to us there and have that presentation. Of course, Andy will be there, and that's also, in a way, a prelude, but also it's separate but the same, if that's possible. That's going to be the Bradenton Bitcoin and Cryptocurrency Meetup, but then coming April 18th, Wednesday afternoon, 5:30, right after people get off working downtown, Greg Karsh, the blockchain attorney, will be coming for our first blockchain and business development meetup, which will be focused on business opportunities, again, aptly named. I also want to remind you that you can find the podcast on numerous podcast platforms. Just Google the Henry Raines Show and you'll find that. We're on Facebook, Twitter. Emails are available at many of those sites. You can get into hold of us if you want, which, oh, one more thing. And also, we have a community Facebook page, the Minnesota Bitcoin and Crypto Club Facebook page. So lots of ways to get involved, social media. But we had a old-fashioned email for those people that remember how you used to communicate in the old days with email. This is from, I'll just make up a name because I don't have necessarily his permission to reveal it. So we'll just say Bob called, or Bob emailed, rather. And Bob has emailed before. He offered to do some production work, but he doesn't live locally, so we didn't take him up on that, although we sort of kept it on the back burner. So I was interested to see this email, and it's probably what a lot of people are focusing on this week if they've been involved in cryptocurrency. Before I read the email, by the way, I just saw a headline before I came to the show, which, interesting how headlines are supposed to skew your attitude to something. And it was only 8% of people in the U.S. are invested in crypto, which I thought was actually a fairly high number, because if you think of who's invested in stocks other than their 401k, you know, that's probably about what it is.
It's actually pretty dang high, because I think less than 10% people are invested into gold and silver.
There you go.
I mean, I think it's like 2% only are the ones that own physical. So that's a, you know, if 8% of the people in the United States are into cryptos, that's pretty good
awareness, to say the least, because they told all their friends and the family about it more than they wanted to hear.
Right.
Either on the way up or on the way down. And so let's go to Bob's email here. I first want to acknowledge your amazing radio show. Always a good way to open.
Yeah, I love that.
That'll get you right on the air pretty easily. This first section gives a hint of where I'm going with this story. This isn't real long, but it's a little bit long, so just bear with us. And if you find the time, please do keep on reading. Well, of course I did. Because I think this is a really important topic that I think someone with an established platform and audience should discuss. Well, but we're both amazing and have an established platform and audience, so I'm really excited about this email now. I wonder what he has to say. It starts when I was first introduced to the crypto market back in October of 2017, another old-timer, when I bought my first pieces of bitcoins. Because if you got in in October, you still had a good run in front of you. I found myself getting more and more involved. Eventually, I got into TradingView.com in December, and I started trading altcoins. I didn't even know what a trend line was or RSI. Well, no. You may be in the group of a majority of the people in this studio or any of that. Here is where I heard about Goldbug One, and then through him heard about your show that I listen to with much enthusiasm every week. I hope you're listening right now. And hi,
Bob,
a.k.a. email sender. Though it was when I first started using TradingView that I got hooked
to trading. I mean, really hooked. But how couldn't I in this new emerging market with trading analyses estimating up to 1,000% returns? Well, back in October, I threw everything I had at Bitcoin and later took out my initial stake with a 50% profit when it kept going down. Well, that's well done
so far.
That's
really good, yeah.
I know you are not supposed to invest money you can't afford to lose, which I didn't. But still, what I had invested felt like a lot of money to me. This was what made the trading thing so nerve-wracking and so exciting. And again, I think probably there's a whole lot of people that are relating to this right now. My portfolio of 100% Bitcoin eventually split into roughly 20 coins. I wonder how many were Alex's coins of the week. I had issues focused on anything other in life than trend lines. And at one time, one of my bigger investments, BTD, went up 500%. It was exhilarating. By the way, really, if you're looking at your phone and coin market cap or whatever, more than once every 2 or 3 minutes,
uh-huh.
It might be getting excessive. Now, I certainly 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, you've got time to interact with people and do work. But that 2-3 minutes, you better start watching out.
Throwing a little chat signal in there.
Yeah. I study business economy at university, so I should learn a little bit about trend and analysis, but spending that much on TradingView was not sustainable in the long run. I knew that much. Of course, I was going to finish my degree, but I'm not taking on student loans like everybody else, well done, except I seem to be the only one exposed to these new amazing opportunities. So before I return to my books, I'm just going to go buy some of this new undiscovered low market cap altcoin that's going to revolutionize the industry. He has been listening, but Alex, just need to buy some Bitcoin first, going to the website, typing in the figures, and I can't lose this money, I think to myself. This is the moment I realize I am completely consumed by this. Now, I'm not the person who gambles, never had, never will. That ship may have already sailed, Bob.
1-800-TRADER.
Never even bought a lottery ticket. But there I was, on the brink, about to risk losing money. I couldn't afford to lose. Ironically, unable to separate me from any other gambler. What did just happen? By the way, I've got to thank Bob for proofreading this email. I don't think I've gotten any emails this long from radio listeners with
good English and grammar.
With no typos, yes, and good grammar. Looking back, I realized that I could very easily be one of those that got in at the top of the previous hype before it got to 20,000 and then panic sold everything when it dropped. But I wasn't that person, and I consider myself lucky like that. Would I have bought more to make up for the loss if I wasn't that lucky? Maybe. Now I don't know. Thinking about how such a behavior could escalate scares me. I haven't opened TradingView once since that purchase that didn't happen a couple of days ago, and I intend not to. Doesn't say anything about going to SeekingCryptos.com.
I hope he's still following me.
Yes, by the way, congratulations on reaching 30,000 followers.
Yeah, thank you, Colleen out there. Colleen Crypto Girl put me over the edge.
Yes. All right. So, well, first of all, Bob, a.k.a. whatever your name is out there in listening land, thank you for this, and I think it's really important for people to hear. Just sort of nod so I know where we're going on this. Who has something to say about this?
Well,
I know Andy.
I hear a lot, don't risk more than you can afford to lose. And so often I hear that, and it just burns, that's the wrong mentality to go into any type of trade or investment. Never risk more than you're willing to lose, because you can afford to lose a lot. A lot of people can afford to lose a lot. Are you willing to lose that much, though? And so whenever you're going into this,
Let me qualify that, because some people are more willing to lose more than they can afford.
Sure, absolutely. So if you can't sleep at night, then you've probably got too much in the market. I mean, that's really the, can you sleep at night? Oh, here goes Augie. Here we go.
If you like sleepless nights and you want to worry about money and you're fixated, and I've done puts and calls in the past and it drives me nuts, and I could make more money at other places than focusing on making money just to make money. I want money to make money for me. And if money doesn't make money for you, get out of the business.
Wait a minute. Now, go. Put that mic back in front of him. Now, that was just a nice turn of a phrase, but what the heck does that mean? I'm not into making money to make money. I'm into making money for making money.
Well, what that is when you invest in stuff that continues to make money despite itself. It grows in appreciation value, real estate I can think of, if you buy right. If you buy high, you're going to get screwed. But if you buy low, and so what happened to Bitcoin? You started.
Wait a minute. Let's stop there. Now, what is the point of? How is that different from making money to make money?
Well, if you're focused on your direct investment constantly, that's gambling. But if you're making something that sits there and produces income for you, that's not the same thing.
Well, what if you're investing in the real estate boom of going into 2008 and you're counting your money and you're looking at your money and then all of a sudden it crashes and you're looking at your money go and you're looking at your money go? How is that different from what you just said about crypto?
What's different in the case of the boom? I sold in the boom.
No, you were given general rules,
well, yes,
not what your personal.
But when you're in a boom, beware. That's the danger. That's when you're
so
in gambling.
There's no difference between real estate and crypto for that. You can get your attitude on either one.
Yes, you can, but if you don't know, if you're visiting a carnival or if you're visiting a casino, it's all the same. It's a carnival. And if you know what you're doing, you make sure you know where you're at with the people you can trust. It's about regulation, and that's what your rundown today is all about. Where there is no regulation, there's no protection, and you have no fallback. If you don't have a fallback, you've got problems.
And actually, my rundown is more about schizophrenic attitudes, because we've been hearing we need regulation to calm the market down, and now every time there's a move towards more organized regulation, people panic in the market. So it's this double attitude.
Well, you know, I'm going to lose some followers here, because I'm going to, but I'm going to be perfectly honest. If you're going to college, your goal should be to get through college, not have any debt or as minimal debt as you can when you get out of college. If you're taking your student loans and you're putting it into any market, whether it be the crypto market, the stock market, whatever, because I was in college during the beginning of the dot-com, anyways.
I have student loans that have gone into that.
Exactly. So, there's nothing more important than getting your education and getting a good start in life. That is going to pay off a lot more than you're going to get paid off in trading cryptocurrencies. Believe me, there are a lot of lottery ticket winners out there and that got in early and they just hit it right. But that's not the norm. I guess the saying is, all the low-hanging fruit's been picked, right? Am I correct on that?
Well, that's often said.
I
don't know if it has been this time or not, or whether it's rotting on the ground, but
yeah, a lot of them are rotting on the ground right now.
We've got someone on the phone line standing by. When that person gets off the phone, although we do have an open phone line at 941-761-8703. I don't give that one out too much, 941-761-8703. Right now on hold, the line 888-761-1490, 888-761-1490. If this strikes anyone a little close to home or they have their thoughts and comments on it, before I go to the phone line, let's stay in the studio, go to Alex. You must have some of your clients, Alex Solis of Solis Digital Assets, that have been getting very antsy, to say the least, these last week or two. What's going on with your people?
Yeah, they tell me all the time, is this it? Is this the end? And I tell them, I've been through like six of these. This is the worst one I've ever been through. So I can't say, it's the end or not, but I don't see blockchain or crypto.
This is worse
anyway
than the one in December or the one on February 6th? Why?
It's the longest. This is the longest we haven't seen anybody making money. The only thing that's been going up and down is Bitcoin. But the cryptos, they've just been bleeding for like 3 months now.
Okay. Well, I will disclose my positions both materially and philosophically on this in a moment. So let's go to the phone line, and our absent crew member, Sabine, is on the line. Hi, Sabine.
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing?
Good. So I know you got the rundown, so you'd already had a chance to read this email, but hearing the discussion and your thoughts from reading it, what do you have to say to us?
Well, first of all, I got to say, Augie's sounding like my 16-year-old son again here a little bit. But I wanted to call in and talk about that email because it's a common thread. It's interesting. I was talking to a guy in California day before yesterday, and he got into it about the same time I did last summer and went through a very similar cycle where you get informed, you find it, you get informed, you start digging, you do your research, and then you get a little obsessed. And that's kind of like all you do for a few months. I certainly went there. I know a lot of us did. But then, I don't know, reality check. Everybody that I've talked to has gone through the same cycle, and then they kind of pull back and do a reality check. Now, part of that might be because of the market and what's happening, but I think part of it is just you get a little crazed when you realize the potential of this technology and you start talking blockchain and you realize this is bigger than the Internet. It makes you a little crazy.
So Sabine, I have to ask this because I've been through that in my trading and investing career. Did you go through those same jitters where you sat in a chair for days on end, did not shower, were in your underwear, ate peanuts, and did coffee shots? I mean, that's what, you know, that's where you get down. That's the bottom of
the
trading.
Is that optional?
That's like the bottom. I mean, that's when you go, gosh, should I be in this, you know?
All right.
No, not that bad, but I definitely, I was definitely sweating it for a while, but I also reached a point where I know that I'm perfectly willing to lose everything that I have in the game right now. I can do that and walk away just fine. It's not going to happen. I'm sure of that. Sorry, Augie, but I could.
If you're treating that as an investment, since you made the point, if you see it as an investment, I want to hear what you say about what is an investment.
What I think is an investment. Well,
yeah.
Something you're going to get a return on. Something you hope to get a return on. We all know there's no 100% guarantees in life. But,
there isn't. I mean, how many real estate people bought stuff and ended up being, you know, there have been something wrong with the property or, you know, you have a sinkhole. I mean, those things happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, look at your bought Detroit, you know, look real estate investors in Detroit.
Okay,
right,
let's change that question a little bit. What is the difference, and this may be to Andy, but Sabine, if you want to jump into it. What's the difference between investing and trading? Andy?
Well, you know, investing is you're putting something in every month and you're building up a position for the long term. And I agree with Augie on that. The majority of your money should be in long-term investments, whether it be gold and silver, whether it be real estate, or whether it should be value stocks. And when I say you're buying stocks, I'm not talking Amazon. I'm talking stocks that pay a dividend. Augie and I talk about this all the time. If it doesn't pay a dividend, it's not an investment. You're gambling. You're trading. So that's my personal opinion on it. However, I'd trade gummy bears on the gummy bear exchange if we could. So
I just want to stop you. You know, if it's not paying a dividend, it's not an investment.
That's correct.
All right. Well, we'll let that stand as your opinion.
That is.
I disagree, actually, from definitions from my finance degree of what a growth investment is. A growth investment. But we'll go back to Sabine because we've got to get to a break. We're behind time. What's your thoughts to wrap up this segment?
I don't know. I guess I agree with both of you because I think trading is that's a form of investment. You're doing it to get a return, right? So what would you call it? I guess a job, maybe?
All right. Sabine, I'm going to go to a break. I'm going to open up your line. If you want to call back in later, that's fine. If it gets something that stimulates you to call, go ahead and do that. But I want to go to a break, then I want to come back with my thoughts on this, and we'll see where else we go with it.
All right, guys. See you later.
See you, sweetheart.
All right. Coming up on the other side of the break, we'll wrap up, perhaps, and I'll tell you what I think, if anybody cares.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raine Show.
I drink a cup of coffee and start to combing out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee.
Wow, some people really love their coffee. But you'll experience much more to love than just the coffee at Mocha Joe's. The perfect spot for family and friends to relax with casual dining or enjoy the pastries and gourmet coffee shop at 3633 Cortez Road, West Bradenton. It will be love at first bite 7 days a week at Mocha Joe's. Thursday is prime rib night, Friday all-you-can-eat fish, and don't forget the world-famous $4.99 Saturday burger night. Vegetarian? On a gluten-free diet? You won't be left out at Mocha Joe's. There's something for everybody at Mocha Joe's. 3633 Cortez Road West. Don't believe me? Then call them up and ask for yourself at 941-753-7094. Open Sunday to Wednesday for breakfast and lunch. Thursday to Saturday for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home.
This segment of the Henry Raine Show is brought to you by Bite Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company, bringing Bitcoin to a location near you.
It's the Henry Raine Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. to 1.30 p.m. And if you just tuned in, then you missed the discussion from an emailer, a regular listener, Bob, who talked about his sort of emotional roller coaster in getting into Bitcoin all the way back in October, getting a 50% return of his original investment, getting out, making money on some other stuff, and then realizing that maybe he was a little too obsessed with trading. Let's pick up where we left off, and I'll comment on some of the comments that were just made and then tell you my point of view over the last couple of weeks. First of all, if you're a venture capitalist, you're going to invest in startups or something that's been in a growth mode, and that's an investment. The definition of investment is you expect to get a future return on it. So if you're going to, whether you're starting a restaurant and you're going to build that up where there wasn't a restaurant before, or you're going to grow something that existed and make it bigger, it's an investment. So I just disagree with that definition. So the same thing, the people that started Amazon before it ever traded on the stock market were investing in Amazon. And the people that came out into the IPO and are still holding it invested on Amazon on the potential of the growth of the value of the business. If a gold coin doesn't pay you a dividend, but I doubt some there would be everyone that's in gold would say investing in gold.
The only thing that's exempt from that because it's been around for.
Well, okay, so we're going to make our exception.
We agree.
All right. So it's in the eye of the beholder. So let me go on to the
Well, let me clarify because you bring up some valid points. I mean, if you're investing in Amazon and stuff like that, everything is an investment in life. Whether you're investing in your education with an expectation to get a better job, which gives you a return, or you're investing into Amazon. And I guess what I should have clarified is when I look at an investment and I'm investing for the long term, and I do own Bitcoin for the long term, and that is an investment, that's a risky investment, and I understand that that can go to zero. I also hold IBM, and I hold Pfizer, and I hold Apple. Those are not as risky investments. They have cash flow. They have a tangible assets, and they pay a dividend. And so Those are different types of investments.
Well, let's take IBM, because you've been...
I've been loving IBM.
Yes, and I've been looking at it. I'm going on to the stock side, but that's all going to tie into this in a moment anyway. So we look at that in two different ways, because you tell me the close to 4% dividend, I think it's 3.9 right now at the current prices, something like that. I said, well, that's attractive, and over time, IBM has grown a lot. But then I go look at a chart for a medium term of a year, 2 year, 3 years, and it's not even at its previous high from the past year and a half or so. And I'm like, well, what's compelling me to want to go in now and hold this stock other than a 4% return, which if I just put it into a Dow index, is likely to give me more than a 4% return.
Well,
so I don't want to argue IBM with you,
right,
but I'm just talking about a different point of view. So I got in to this back in May, tried to trade it, and then realized if I just held on at least through December, I would do much better. And it was totally the reverse of any of the options trading or stock trading I'd ever done. So I got to a number in December, and actually it almost touched the same number in January. I got a number that from my actual capital into it, I was like, this is too good to be true. I told that to one of my coworkers and one of my family members. And perhaps it was, because it pulled back. And then if you looked at the long-term trend as opposed to the spike, you could say, well, it's still on that trend line. It's still much more than it was in November, definitely more than it was in October. And I'm trying to reevaluate where I want to be on this. So I'm like, well, luckily, I'm at a spot right now where my stock investments are doing okay, better than okay, and my options trading is doing like the returns I was getting on crypto, which is the only thing that's probably keeping my sanity.
No, that's gambling now. Options is gambling.
No,
for the,
I disagree. It may be trading, but it's not gambling.
Well, it depends how you're doing it. And
well, that's right. So why don't we talk about how I'm doing it,
okay,
and
then right,
how you want to project on me. So the thing I like about the options is I can manage my risk by hedging against my long position.
Absolutely.
So often I will buy the calls and the puts. Sometimes I'll just go one direction or the other if I think the trend is that long. But I can't lose any, even in the worst case.
You're limited risk.
I've limited my risk. Now, I would say since the second week of January, on my initial capital, I've got a 400% return.
That's great.
So that sounds like crypto. And at the same time, the amount that my crypto portfolio has fallen, it's sort of apples to oranges, but from that peak that was too good to be true, which I didn't really believe, it's down 60%. From the place where I thought it was a reasonable expectation, it's down 35%. But I'm looking at the most recent developments in the crypto world, and my portfolio up until this week would have been Litecoin, Bitcoin, Ethereum. I had gotten out of Bitcoin Cash, and then I had Stellar, Neo, EOS, Economy, which probably nobody knows about, and there may have been something else there. But
Henry,
I'm looking.
Henry, I heard you say you're loving what's happening to the market.
Why did I say that?
You said this to me off air last time I was here.
The stock market.
Regarding the stock, I said the market. To me, this is all market, whether it's Bitcoin.
Well, you're diverting from the line of thought. So that was with the portfolio a week ago. And I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at what would be considered the altcoins, but still were considered fairly blue chip, like NEO, EOS, the Japanese Ethereum, et cetera, Stellar, which that one killed me to sell, even though I came out with at least a little profit on that one. But I think that's like partnered with IBM. It's a good long-term thing. But I was looking at the rate of those were dropping compared to what I thought were the blue chips, the Bitcoin, the Ethereum, and the Litecoin. And I was like, well, I got to divest those because where it was the principal from 2017 was still well in the black. The purchases from like December on were heading south fast. So I stopped there, and then I continued to look at the charts. And you look at one of these charts for 6 months or a year, and I would never hold on to a stock that had a chart like these. I know Andy's chomping today. You'll get your chance.
Yeah, that's okay.
But I mean, really, you look at these, and I know you can. You're going to do the Elliott wave, and you're going to see what the reversals are. But if it was a stock, you'd be saying, like, I don't know, whatever's going to happen to that company, because look at this trend. There's nothing promising about it.
Well,
I'm almost done.
I have
you guys go for 15, 20 minutes here. And so, and I admit, my attitude now is very schizophrenic, because I was like Bob there. I said 2 or 3 days ago, I was like, I just have to step back from this. So I went to cash, even though that was against my normal rules of how I would handle something like this. But I thought my emotion was getting too strong for me. So I went to cash. I went back in with a percentage of the cash once I had a day and a half to catch my breath on it all. And I just went long on Bitcoin and Litecoin. My Coinbase account is long in Litecoin, and my Kraken account, this is where I get schizophrenic, because I'd seen how much variation this is where that screen, the Kraken screen, will suck you in, because you're watching all those orders line up and down until I finally, at least it allows you to place stop losses and other orders where Coinbase doesn't. And so before I left for the studio, just very like an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago, I am long Bitcoin and short Bitcoin an almost equal amount in Kraken. So I can't lose.
What do you mean by short Bitcoin?
One position is long and one is short.
Oh, you actually shorted on margin.
Well, I have enough cash in there to cover
it up. So cash covered short. Okay.
Yeah. So in my mind, I'm thinking the short-term danger is high, and I'm okay holding on to that Bitcoin. But mainly, and I'm going back to Bob's emotion here, I didn't want to get done with my 2 hours of not paying attention to my portfolio, even though I can trade right here on my phone if I wanted to in Kraken. I just wanted to be even when I got off this radio show.
Well, that's the one area in cryptos that has not evolved yet. Until it does, until there's other hedge products out there like options and anything that you can hedge against, it's very hard to short this market. I don't personally short the market because I can't. I mean, I have a Kraken account, but I haven't figured it out. But I am only long the market. If I'm short the market, I'm in cash. I'm long cash. I'm either long cash or I'm long the market. And I still have a good cash position from our December sell-off, and I've added back, to a few of them. NEO probably wasn't my best ad recently because it went down 50%. But long-term, these charts are all going up. And if you look at the market cap overall, the long-term trend is still up. Just because it went up 800 or 1,000% in a few months doesn't mean that it's not going to continue. This is just pulling back. And when everybody's panicking, when everybody's getting out, when everybody's screaming that this is the end, that's when you need to be a buyer. And I'm going to tell you, Warren Buffett said this the best. When there's no more weak hands to shake, the market's left with nothing but strong hands. And that's where you want the market to be, and that's where you want to be a buyer. Well, that's the stock market. It's the same in the crypto market. But, but your point is valid, and I see all these shorts. If you've seen the short interest in Bitfinex, it's crazy. It's up towards 30,000. I think it's the third highest ever since they started charting it. That's where you're going to get your issues, because in a traditional market, if it was a stock market like Apple, and Apple's up and it's high, I don't want to sell because of the tax implications. What do? I sell call options. So I'm going to sell calls against my Apple. And if they, for some reason it spiked up $30, $40, I'll let them take the stock away and I'll sell puts against it to buy it back. So those are traditional hedging methods that are not available in the cryptocurrency market. And because of that, you're getting these whipsaw spike moves like what you're seeing, and it's scaring people out of the market. But to me, I'm just saying, I'm just going to stay long here.
The other thing, and we're going to go to the halfway break and come back. Maybe we'll actually get some news here. But One of the things, now that I've found the crack in trade screen, is I was watching the volumes. And we, in the next half of the show, we'll get into the Mt. Gox stuff, because some people say that didn't make a difference. But what is the most disturbing to me to hold is it seems like you couldn't move Apple stock with $24 million. You might be able to bump it a little
bit. You definitely bump it, yes.
But you can't cause a 10% drop or a 5% drop, even in Apple, because of one person unloading $24 million. And that's where about Bitcoin is and its market cap. It would be comparable to Apple or even go down to something five or six companies down. Still a huge company like that. But I saw when I was watching last night, someone drop in 5 minutes, or many people drop in 5 minutes, $24 million of Bitcoin, and it dropped 7% in 5 minutes. And then just a little bit later, after it tried to recover, in 10 minutes, I saw another $24 million dropped on the market. So you wonder, how is this coincidentally all these people acting at the same moment in time, which is a possibility, or is there a dominant whales or people, and it's not Mt. Gox, we can go to that after the break, that are manipulating this market, because they, even though it's got a market cap over $100 billion, a relatively hundredth of a percent of the market cap can make it move 5 to 10%.
Well, real quick, keep in mind these are non-regulated markets. They do not have any regulations. And in a typical market, when you're trading, you cannot see where the margin stops are. Kraken and those, they're not regulated, so they can see where people have entered their stops, their stop losses. And so you're playing a rigged game where they can see where those are, and they know exactly how much it has to do to push through where they enter in buy orders at the other end. And actually, we did that trade the other day, if you read the post, and exactly what you're talking about.
Cryptos.com.
That's correct. And where we saw that happening, and we took a trade against it, and it worked out because the shorts got a little squeezed, not as much as we want, but we hit our target and closed. Now, today,
and by the way, I looked at SeekingCryptos.com right before the show, and that's like the lead article, so you can see the chart of what Andy's talking about.
And today it's actually been already done, exactly what you're talking about, looking at long-term trends, is all the technical analysis that we put into taking that one trade. And it starts with the long-term chart, looking at this going all the way back to 2015. And then you slowly get into the shorter-term charts, and I go down to the 12-hour at this point. I don't go into the 1-hour. That'll drive you nuts. You'll be crazy. You'll be sitting in your underwear and eating popcorn, drinking coffee, and going crazy.
You just described the casino, Andy. The house always wins. If they can look at what you're doing, and you can't, because of lack of regulation, you're in the
lead. Yeah, but at least with a casino, they're mandated to pay a certain amount of return on
maybe in Vegas.
All right, let's go to the halfway point of the show. Come back. We'll pick up with maybe where we left off, maybe with news. And if you have thoughts, you can call us at 888-761-1490, 888-761-1490. You're listening to The Henry Raine Show.